Sweden aligns itself with the statement made by the European Union under this cluster. Our general priorities are also reflected in the comprehensive working papers presented by the EU and the Vienna Group of Ten. In addition, I would like to make the following remarks in a national capacity. Mr. Chair, during the past years, the world has been alarmed at the persistent illegal and dangerous nuclear weapons ambitions of DPRK, including developments of ballistic missiles of intercontinental range. Recent diplomatic efforts offer a glimmer of hope and have somewhat decreased the immediate risk of miscalculation. Now these encouraging gestures need to be followed up by concrete action. The DPRK must abandon its nuclear weapons and missile programs in a complete, verifiable and irreversible manner and come into compliance with its NPT safeguards agreement. Mr. Chair, the JCPOA was achieved through tough and skillful diplomatic bargaining. It constitutes a part of the global non-proliferation architecture which we cannot afford to lose. The EU and Sweden remain firm in its support of this agreement, and we will expect all parties to continue to fully implement it. A failure in this regard would be seriously detrimental for a regional as well as global security. The JCPOA makes it possible for the EIA to apply its most intrusive safeguards. This in turn gives us confidence in the EIA's assessment that Iran continues to fulfill its nuclear obligation under the agreement. This year, Sweden has pledged another €300,000 for extra budgetary contribution towards the EIA's verification pursuant to the JCPOA. Another critical confidence-building step would be a prompt Iranian ratification of the additional protocol. Iran's role in the region, as well as missile activities, are a distinct matter of considerable concern. As such, they need to be addressed, but separately and not at the expense of the JCPOA. Mr. Chair, the JCPOA also underlines the central role of the IAEA in upholding non-proliferation obligations under the NPT and the additional protocol as an indispensable tool. In times as this, when more states are developing nuclear energy, it should, together with the Comprehensive Safeguard Agreement, be considered the current verification standard pursuant to Article 3 of the treaty. It is high time for states that have not already done so to conclude an additional protocol. Mr. Chair, Sweden is a strong supporter of effective verification. More than 30 years of Swedish contribution to the AAA Safeguards Support Programme testify to this. Robust verification will be needed when nuclear weapons decrease in number and for upholding a world free of nuclear weapons. That is why we're engaged in initiatives such as the IPNDV and the Quad initiative that can further verification methods and technologies for nuclear verification and disarmament. Such cooperative efforts bring together nuclear and non-nuclear weapon states, also contribute to transparency and build trust. Mr. Chair, nuclear security and nuclear terrorism remain global challenges. Sweden is actively involved in the global partnership. We cooperate with several Eastern European countries to assist in upgrading nuclear security and prevention of nuclear terrorism. We support the EIA's work on nuclear security, and we have since 2010 contributed with more than €500,000 to its trust fund. Sweden also strongly supports the UN Security Council Resolution 1540, which serves as an important complement to the non-proliferation regime. As a member of the UN Security Council, we're currently one of the vice chairs of this committee. All nuclear and radioactive materials need to be protected. This includes military material. We call on all states that possess nuclear weapons to increase transparency and confidence in the effective security of such materials. Mr. Chair, another global challenge is the proliferation of ballistic missile technology. Voluntary arrangement can increase transparency and build confidence. In this regard, Sweden is pleased to take the chairmanship of the Hague Code of Conduct in May this year. Our priorities as chairs will be to pursue universalization of the code, improve implementation of subscribing states, both regarding pre-launch notification and annual reports. And finally, to ensure wide support for this year's resolution on the code in the UN General Assembly. I thank you, Mr. Chair.